So praise the Lord this morning. It's good to see you, Sister Brenda. We've missed you and Brother Neil greatly. Somebody's missing out of the family while they're really missed. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you for this part of the service, we're asking, dear God, for you to open the word to us. Speak to us, Lord, in this last day. And I pray, dear God, that you would direct me, Lord, that my thoughts be your thoughts, Lord. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Turn up, if you would, in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start a different subject this morning, but we'll probably only have enough time to introduce it. I want to speak on in the last days. In the last days. So 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Amen. You may be seated. Message of preparation. Brother Branham says, and may I stop right here just a minute and say, I believe that the people are in the preparation of the last great destruction this world will ever know. I believe we're at the end. You can speak to people. You could put a Billy Graham in every city in the United States and they drink whiskey, smoke cigarettes, laugh at you and everything else just the same. They are in the spirit of the last days. And God cannot send destruction before the people are in the spirit for destruction. Looking at prophetically at the scriptures and the message of the hour and at the conditions of the last days and the things that's going to come to pass, I believe we should not only realize the dispensation that we're living in, but we should realize what hour that we're living in. When it comes to fulfillment of the scripture, I believe the bride will know exactly when she is in the fulfillment of the scripture. I believe it just like when Jesus went to the temple and read from the scroll and said, this day is the scripture fulfilled. I believe it would be like Peter when they come out of the upper room. He said, this is that which was spoke of by the prophet Joel. I believe the bride will know just that way. You may say, well, there's many things that have been prophesied that haven't happened yet. Realize that in the closing of the Gentile dispensation, that in the closing hours, minutes, seconds, there are so many things that can happen so suddenly, so quickly. There was more prophecy fulfilled at the death of Christ than there had been filled the whole 30 years of his life. The time of the crucifixion, things were happening so quickly, and the disciples, under the impression of the suffering, sorrow, and agony, they weren't able to perceive what all was going on. They were overwhelmed, and the prophecy was passing right before them, and they didn't know it. That's the reason they said their hearts burned within them, because when all these things had passed right before them, had happened right before them, But it took the word, the anointing of the word, to actually open their eyes to it. And that's why they said, didn't our hearts burn within us when we walked with him along the way? Because he began to open up and show them, this happened, this happened, this happened, this was spoke of, this was spoke of, this happened. If the spirit in the last days has to get on the world for destruction, then I believe there has to be a spirit that gets on the bride to prepare her in order to get her ready for a rapture. People of the world are becoming desensitized to mass destruction by all the wars and things that are going on. But it's in the spirit of the last days, and they have to be under that in order for them to accept the things that's going to come to pass. But there's another people that is being conditioned at the same time, and that is the bride. And that is to leave out of here, and I believe we're in the countdown. I want to look back at this scripture, 2 Timothy 3, that we had read for our text. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. It's fierce, troublesome, dangerous, harsh, hard to take, hard to bear. Perilous times. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, only concerned with their own interests, selfish, self-centered, covetous, loving money, boasters, an empty pretender, proud, estimating one's means or merits, despising others, or even treating them with contempt, haughty, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. They can't even love one another as human beings. Truce breakers, you can't bring them into a covenant. False accusers. The word there uses diablos, the devil, prone to slander, slanderous, accusing falsely. Now, there are people. We can talk about the people of the world, and we can talk about people of the denominations and the church world, but those aren't the ones that we're really dealing with. There are people that are around this message. They're anointed with the spirit to falsely accuse. But if they're falsely accusing, then there has to be someone that's being falsely accused. Remember, when you hear any tale, remember there's three things: the accusation, the accuser, and the accused. There's got to be an accused. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means without self-control, fierce, they're savage, not tame, despisers of those that are good. Evidently, these people know some good people. Otherwise, they couldn't despise them. They're despisers of those who are good, then there must be some good people to be despised. Traitors. Now, the word used here is, I don't know if I can pronounce it, it's the Greek word proaktes. It means betrayer. It's the same word that is used in Luke 6:16 to describe Judas. Now, Judas was singular. Paul here uses plural, traitors. Now, in order for somebody to be a traitor, they have to be part within the same group you're in order to be a traitor, to betray you. They can't be someone from the outside. It has to be someone from the inside. I hate saying these things because to be taken wrong, but friends, look, Judas was right in the message of that hour. Judas was on the inner circle. He was one of the 12. And Jesus even said he was given to him by the Father. So there's going to be traitors in this last day. Friends, we don't know how much pressure is going to be on us right at the end. I don't know. I wouldn't even venture a guess at it. There could be a lot of pressure, and then again, we might so rapidly get took out of here that we wouldn't even be here to witness much of it. I don't know. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. It didn't say they didn't love God. It just said they loved pleasures more. Having a form of godliness, a likeness of it, but denying the power thereof. Now, what are you by the scripture supposed to do when you come in contact with people like this? Are you supposed to put your arm around them and say, God bless you, I love you? From such, turn away. That means to shun or avoid. That's what the scripture says to do. Verse 6, for this is a sort are they which creep into houses and lead silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust. They creep. They assimilate oneself into the group. They, within the houses, for innocent fellowship. I guess I should have put the air quotes around innocent. Now, Brother Branham says this in the second seal. He says, notice, he said, for this is a sort that'll go from house to house and lead silly women. Now, that don't mean Holy Ghost women. So when you see silly women being led captive by a lot of nonsense that goes around the church and so on, then you know one thing, they don't have the Holy Ghost, at least not yet. You can't lead a Holy Ghost-filled sister into a bunch of nonsense. And she won't stand for it. Holy Ghost will keep her from going wrong because she listens to the Spirit of God. Now, why did Paul pick the gender of the woman to represent this? Why didn't he say silly men or silly people? Brother Branham says in marriage and divorce, there's nothing that can be so easily deceived as a woman. That's why a woman should be subject to her head, her husband. Recognizing your day, Brother Ram says, do you know the woman plays a great part in the last days? You know, the Bible said that those who escape out of this great damnation will be beautiful branch before the Lord. Let you see what God thinks of the woman that really escapes from the damnation this day, said she'd be beautiful. Verse 7, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, it doesn't mean just knowing somewhat, but a precise, correct knowledge of the truth. Not just being familiar with it. Brother Bram says, and earnestly continuing for the faith, said, watch those spirits, how they begin to move. It's the spirit of anything that does the work of it anyhow. The people have to be in this kind of a spirit to bring the latter days. The people's in the spirit of the latter days. The nation are in the spirit of the end time. They got atomic weapons and hydrogen weapons and all kinds of things because it's the spirit of the day. The people are in the spirit of the end time. The church is moving together under the power and impact of the Holy Spirit. And the world's running out yonder, making fun, scoffing, laughing, and they're living like the devil every day. It's in the spirit of the thing. He says in Israel at the Red Sea, he says, but God's just now loosening up the church everywhere, getting in order now so he can get it into the rapture. Got to give it rapturing faith before it can go in the rapture. The people are in the spirit of the last days, just like they was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, unconcerned, don't care, walk around, and anything else. And these American people is the worst on the face of the earth. Heady, high-minded, incontinent, fierce, despisers, a know-it-all. If there's any place in the world, if I had to say the place needs missionaries worse than any place in the world, it's the USA, the United States of America. The greatest bunch of heathens I know of anywhere is in America. Heathens means unbeliever. So out of all the nations of the world, God picks the worst nation to let the message of the hour come forth from. And out of the worst nation, and out of the most bunch of heathens, God's called you. Questions and answers. He said, we've got to get in the spirit of the last days. When the last days are here, you go to a dance hall, you've got to get in the spirit of dancing, or they won't dance. You go to church, you've got to get in the spirit of worship before you can worship. The world's got to get in the spirit of the last days before the last days can come. And we're in the spirit of the last days. And God's promise that these things would be here, and that's what we've got. We're in the last days. You can see by you turn on your computer or however you read the news, and you can see the people are getting in the spirit of the last days. More and more and more. In investments, he says, it's the spirit of the last days. Want to confess and hold your confession. I'm this, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Methodist, I'm Baptist. And still hold on to that and live any way you want to. I'm message. It's one thing to claim you believe the message. It's another thing that you and that book become one. It ain't just having the books, knowing about them. But in Revelation 10, John, as a type of the Bible, is told to eat the book. Become one with it. In other words, you say you can't separate the messenger from the message. Neither can you separate those who receive the message from the message. People have been preaching the coming of the Lord for years and years. You know, Jesus never told his disciples when he spoke about that coming. He never said, now it's going to be some 2,000 years beyond this. God only lets his people know so much. We're supposed to be living like he's coming in the morning. God has not let us know just but so much of the element of time, because I believe it's because he knows what time does to human beings. If we knew the time, I was just sitting back in the office while I was going over my notes, and I went back in time to where I remember, now this might seem like a comical story to you, but I don't really mean it exactly that way, but I remember a time when I'd asked my dad for a 10-speed bicycle. I wanted to replace the old bicycle I had, you know, and I wanted a growing-up bicycle. And my dad told me, he said, on your 13th birthday, I'll buy you a 10-speed. And I walked away and hung my head and said, he's only said that because he knows the rapture's coming before I turn 13. So I said it to let you know that here I was at the age of 11 or 12 years old, here I was thinking that it was going to come so quickly that I'd never even reach the age of 13. Now I'm 54. What if God didn't come for another generation yet? Brother Branham, these quotes I'm reading you, he spoke a lot of this back in 1953, 1954, and said we're in the spirit of the last days. But all that time that would seem like a lot of time to us is just a little bit of time to God. Some of the things that Brother Branham pointed out during his time here, we would look at him today and think, well, that was just so innocent. But that's because how far we've moved beyond that, how it's gotten, what's acceptable today. Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, they said, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Now look, this is the first thing Jesus says concerning the end time. He says unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. That's the first thing he says when he's asked concerning his coming and the end time. Take heed that no man deceive you. I believe that any man, preacher, whatever you find that's pointing to himself, I believe but that's a deceiver. I don't believe any man should be pointing to himself. In other words, what if I'd get up and say, now look, you tell all your friends, you tell every, you come in contact with people with other churches, you tell them that this is where they need to come if they're going to make it in the rapture. They need to sit under my ministry. That'd be a deceiver. The thing is, there's people out there like that. Thirteenth verse of 2 Timothy 3. But evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Not only are they deceiving others, but they themselves are deceived. It's a twofold deception. They're damned for being a deceiver and they're damned for being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. You cannot learn the truth from a deceiving vessel. Matthew 24, Jesus again speaking of the end and speaking of being deceived by no man. He says, for many shall come in my name. Now, this is not actually in the person of the name. It's not actually professing under the name, but they come professing to represent the name. They are supposed ambassadors of his name. Listen to this, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, it's not that they're going to say necessarily that they are Jesus Christ. But what they're saying is to look at their anointing. I am anointed. Brother Branham says this in Anointed Ones at the End Time. He said in Matthew 24, he didn't say there'd rise false Jesuses in the last day. Oh no, they'd never stand for that. No. You get a Pentecostal that's a real Pentecostal, says himself he's Jesus. See, they know better than that. They ain't going to do that. But the Bible said they'd be false Christ, not Jesuses. Notice, not false Jesuses, but false Christ. They believe they're anointed, but they know they're not Jesus. He said there'd appear false Christ, anointed ones, anointed with the denominational spirit and not the word. Now, at the time when he spoke this, 1965, there weren't message churches spread all over the continent like there is today. So when he says that they were under an anointing of a denominational spirit, of course you could look directly straight at the denominations. But today, there are people that claim to believe this message, but they're under a denominational type spirit. They want to do the same thing that has been done in every age, organize around what they believe to be the truth in order to protect it. And in their organizing in this last days, they have cut out the fivefold ministry because they don't want no one telling them different. Prophet never taught no such thing. Prophet believed in the fivefold ministry. He was part of the fivefold ministry. Except he was a major prophet. Brother Branham says, in trying to do God a service, talking about false Christ, he said, but false Christ means the anointed. Oh, they each one thinks they got anointing. Glory to God, we can do this or that. But put him on the word test and find out where he comes out on the message of the hour. They had anointing in the time of Jesus, but not on him. They had anointing in the time, even Dathan had anointing in the time of Moses. Jesus says again, talking about the last days in Matthew 24, he says, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We've had wars, and we've had the Persian Gulf War. We had the war in against Iraq. We've had war in Afghanistan. And then there's always this looming thing of a rumor that we'll be at war with Korea. Remember this, though, no matter how powerful this nation gets, there's still a bomb over in Russia that's labeled USA. Because there's prophecy to come to pass to where he saw the United States laying in craters and ashes. And Israel at the Red Sea, Brother Ram says, now we've had earthquakes. We've had wars and rumors of wars. We've had tidal waves, as Jesus said would be, and a sea a-roaring, man's heart's failing, more heart trouble, number one disease, fear, perplex of time, distress between the nations, horseless carriages in the broadways, all these things fulfilled. To Nahum 2 and 4, where it says, the chariots shall rage in the streets, they shall jostle one another in the broadways, They shall seem like torches. They shall run like the lightnings. What did the prophet see? What did that prophet there see? He saw automobiles. And Israel at the Red Sea, Brother Ram says, when Christ takes over in the millennium, there'll be no sickness, no sorrow. All the arms will be beat into plowshares and will study war no more. That's all. It'll all be over when Jesus comes. Until then, as long as Satan's dominating the nations, there'll be wars and rumors of wars until Jesus comes. What about spiritual wars? We've seen here some, well, goodness, now it must be some 15, 16 years ago. Now it's been quite a long time. But we saw a time rise where in this message, like they had went back to 1861. It was like the Civil War within the message. You know, in the Civil War was the bloodiest war America's ever been in. Because it was brother against brother. Israel was like that one time. They were divided. It was Israel and Judah. It's happened before. Both of them are claiming to follow the same prophet, Moses. This is a sign of the end, sir. Brother Branham says, the sounding of the trumpet means gospel trumpet. And the sounding of the trumpet in the Bible means get ready for a scriptural war. Are you getting it down? Scriptural war. Paul said, if you want to put this down, 1 Corinthians 14:8. Paul said, if the trumpet gives an uncertain sound, how will a man know what to prepare for? And if it doesn't have a scriptural sound, a vindication of the word of God made manifest, how will we know we're at the end time? How will we know how to prepare? Do you notice each one of these ages, as I told you about the church coming in, there was a trumpet sounded and a seal torn loose. A trumpet means war. And if it don't give a scriptural sound, what about it? But let me call this to your memory. Don't miss it now. Notice each church age had its messenger. We know that. Paul was the first messenger. And when the first trumpet sounded, the first seal was tore loose. Paul was the first messenger, as we found. And what did he do? He declared war. On what? The Orthodox Church, for not believing the Messiah sign that Jesus had produced to them. Why? They should have known it. They should have known him. Remember, Paul come out at the end of the age. All messengers come out at the end of the age. It's at the end time when these things are brought forth. Jesus said, for nation shall be against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence, earthquakes in divers places. At one time you tell people that part of California was going to break off and go into the sea, and they look at you like you're crazy. But not today. You say that today, and they're like, well, everybody knows that. They've even made a movie about it. I never saw it, never cared to see it. They made a movie about it. An earthquake and part of it slipping off into the ocean and so on. Their minds are getting in the spirit of the last day. they're being prepared for it. But you think it would get people who live in that part of the state and so on, you think it'd get them to move out of there? No. I don't understand that one. Because you talk to them and they know about the San Andreas Fault and they know how that it's got worse. Yesterday they closed down part of the 70 bypass right there by Pop's car wash. They thought there might have been a sinkhole. They had it closed down. And I asked my wife, I said, "You want to take a ride over there and see?" She said, "No." But I thought about it, and I thought about the sinkholes that have been happening around the world. When I was growing up, actually, just to a few years ago, I didn't even know what the word tsunami meant. Earthquakes happening out in the ocean, causing great, great tidal waves. Friends, we're living at the end time. I don't know how many of us will go by the way of the grave before that time, or how many will still be here. I know age doesn't necessarily have anything to do with it, but I believe that young people here, they're definitely going to be here during that time and see it from that side, those that are alive and remain, waiting for the dead in Christ to rise. But I don't know how much longer I got here. I don't know how quickly it's going to be. I believe we're at the end time. I believe we're in the last days. And I believe that, like I said, that so much can happen so quickly from one day to the next. But I want to live like he's coming tomorrow morning. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you. We're thankful, Lord, for you coming and speaking to us, Lord. Lord, and making us aware, Lord, of what time we're in. Lord, that we can look and see many things that are taking place in the world today. And it, Lord, how can it be any otherwise than us being at the end? Lord, I don't look at it with gloom. I look at it with joy. I'm looking forward to it, Lord. I'm looking forward to getting out of here. Lord, I don't want to live my life like I want to stay here. I want to live it like I want to leave. I ask you to bless your people today, Lord. Bless the word to them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Welcome to the house of God this morning and seeing every one of the people. We don't know what joy it is Sing "We're Together Again." G.
We're together.